Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brand?
Here.
Here.
Mr. Morlock?
Present.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Present.
Mr. Holt, present.
Karen, you want to lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Does anybody have anything for board work session?
Mr. Hunter, if I could, I just want to clarify for the people in the room that we are recording our meeting as we always have. For as long as I can remember, the voice is recorded and they are part of the public record out on the website, so I'm going to make sure everybody knows that.
Joe, can you see if there's anybody signed up for public communication?
Sure.
We have Ashley Putin. I apologize if I still say a name correctly. Kay.
Manning.
Manning.
And Alice Baker.
Ashley, do you want to talk?
Do you need to go up there?
Yes, please. Remember to give your
name
and address, and please don't publicly talk about any of the associates at the school.
Okay. My name's Ashley Buten, and my address is 1311 Old Xenia Road, London, Ohio. And I'm just here tonight. I wasn't going to speak until like 5 minutes ago, but I'm just here because I just wanted to follow up with the last meeting. And I didn't realize that this was being taped last time. And one of the boys I was talking about today, he has forwarded it all over the school. And I had a child call and tell me that he received one.
He received what?
The last meeting. He has forwarded it on to some kids at the high school. He recorded it on his phone, the meeting, and then he sent it to a bunch of other kids' phones. And I had a child on the way here actually call and tell me that that's what happened. And now I'm just kind of scared for my son because this child's 18 and
the board meetings are, you know, recorded. We have, like Mr. Detmar said, we do record them.
And I'm not asking you to even do anything. I've been keeping record of all this, and I just want everyone to know what has happened since then. It just keeps getting worse and worse.
But this student isn't a student of ours.
He is a student.
He's
a senior.
Okay.
I mean, first of all, he wasn't at school today, and these kids were at school, and he's sending this to the kids when they're in class.
I think the last time you said that you had to contact the sheriff?
Yes.
Have you notified them on this?
Yes, I have several times.
But I mean, on this particular thing?
No, because I actually just found out about it, like, probably like 5 minutes before I even walked in.
Because I actually didn't go speak tonight. I was just coming to listen. Has there been any action by the sheriff from last meeting?
I've met with a couple, and it's just, we're just working on it.
Just working through stuff, okay.
I don't even know if I want to say anything since I'm recording.
Well, I'm sure that you have voiced your concern to Mr. Clark.
No, not with that, I haven't.
Okay.
Not with that issue. But, I mean, that's affecting my kids' classroom. I mean, I haven't talked to Hunter yet today. This was one of his friends that had called me. But I'm sure, and Hunter didn't even know I came to the last meeting, because I try not to get him too involved more than he is now. And of course, she posted more things on Facebook about me, and then my son responded back, because we just about have it. It only takes so much of this. It's been going on for how long? 2 years?
Just out of curiosity, you're talking about who he's living with?
I moved my daughter. I really don't want to do him, too. So that's all I have to say.
Kay, do you want to speak? Or?
Yeah, I really don't care if I am taped. I'm at that point. I'm Kay Manning. My address is 1301 Olmzenia Road, London. And I am here because of my grandson. You know, I want to make sure things do happen. And I just want to make sure everybody knows what's going on, because I don't like it. I don't like it, you know. Let's have some backbone and start, you know, going over who we bring in for open enrollment. You know, it's just, there was a kid that they weren't going to bring back because he was tardy. You know, and he had been here since he was kindergarten. Well, there's other things a lot worse that some of these other kids do, and we have them. I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm just tired of it. I'm a taxpayer, and the open enrollment, yes, it might bring in a lot of money, and it might make people look good. Well, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to bring it in, bring trouble in on other kids. You know, I've got kids at my house all the time. I give kids money. I take them out to eat. You know, I'm for the kid. I'm not, like they say at work, Kay, you like kids better than grown-ups. Yes, I do. There's no excuse for grown-ups, but there is for kids. And, you know, I would go to bat for almost any kid. I know Corey Freeman. Oops. Sorry. I know I would have taken that kid in and tried to make him, you know, toe the mark and be at this school. You know, I'm there to help any kid I can. And that's what I feel like some other people should be doing. And when it comes to kids, yes. And my grandson, like, my granddaughter's going to London now. Why? Okay, we went to Madison Rule. This particular person followed us to Madison Rule. Then we went to Midway. Well, then she followed us to Midway. Is she going to follow us to London, too? Well, you know, why did this particular person leave where she came from? Well, we don't know that, do we? But yes, I'm very, very upset. I feel like I could have a heart attack, but I wouldn't do that to you guys. That mad. You know, and when it comes to kids, yes. You know, it does. I mean, like the ball team the other night, down at the soccer field, every parent yelled for everybody's kid. You don't have this in all sports. You have some people that only want to clap for their own. It's a team. Until some of these sports learn that, no, it's not about your own kid. It's about all of them. So I've got a lot more to say, but I think I'll say it because I'm too mad tonight. So we got that little call on the way down, and it's just really upset me to think that I have to leave this school for someone else. And I've taken up for a lot of teachers and a lot of, you know, a lot of people on the school board and everything. And it's like, I'm always wrong. That's all I have to say.
Did this particular person, was it directly, you got called from him?
Mm-hmm, from the child that's in high school.
Before you came here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the child that got it sent to him, one of the children that got it sent to them, he called me on the way here.
Have any of these kids threatened your child?
No. I mean, not since it's only the first day of school. I hope they don't.
Who else wanted to speak?
Charleston Chillicothe Road. And I just want to address the school supply list at the intermediate building. I've had 25 to 30 parents complain to me about it. And I believe they're talking to me just because of my role with PTO. The list is for every grade is over $100 at Walmart. And so the people are saying that that is just too expensive. In addition to school fees, and the stuff that they're purchasing is batteries and wipes and this and that. Not really pencils, paper, the traditional school supply. And I realize that the teachers are using it, so I'm just trying to urge the district in the future to try to take some of those costs on. Give the teachers what they need to do their jobs. If they like to do science experiments and they want to do this kind of stuff, if the district can incur some of those costs, then the taxpayers and the parents are going to be much happier when it comes to voting and those sorts of things. And also, if it's possible to get an additional custodian, because having one custodian for the entire campus, he is just running ragged. And this morning, as I was just here for 30 seconds, I have a vomit here and I've got a spill up here, and you have to do both at the same time. And that becomes a sanitary issue for children if they're dealing with vomit and, you know, bodily fluids and that sort of thing. And then also, the only other thing I have, and this is just as a parent, not as a PTO representative, so just me as a parent. My son came home this morning, my fifth grader, and he was thrilled with his day, but he's not allowed to talk during lunch until everyone is served. So I'm not sure what the reason for that is, but kids are kids. They want to talk during lunch. They want to have fun during lunch. They don't want to sit there and like in a prison. So that's just something that maybe we could work on in the future. Maybe it was just today or until they're getting their stuff. But if we could just kind of work where they enjoy being at school and it doesn't seem like a prison to them. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Anybody else want to talk? It's your chance. Moving on, we have approval of the minutes.
Make a motion that the minutes of the meeting of July 24th and August 2nd, 2012 be approved as written.
Got a second? Don, do you second that?
Yeah.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Don. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yeah.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Tim, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I just have a couple quick items. Reminder to the board that your board docs training is August 27th at 6 p.m. In this room. They want to do the training where you're going to be having your board meetings. That afternoon, Mr. Hall, myself, and Vicki will be having a separate training on how to create backing.
What was that date again, Tim?
August 27th.
And what time?
6 p.m. Just FYI for the board, you may have read a little bit about the State Treasurer's Office having a new investment vehicle. It's called Star Ohio Plus. We do have funds in that investment vehicle now. It's a very, very safe and conservative way to try to capture some returns that you can't get any other way. The State of Ohio, the Treasurer's Office has gone out and they have got contracts signed with all the banks in the state. And you basically put $500,000 into the Star Ohio Plus. They invested up to $250,000 increments, which is the FDIC covered amount, in those banks that they've already approved. So basically, they're going out and putting money all across the state and shopping for the best rates for you. So it's an easy way for us to try to capture some returns. Capital Conference, I need you guys to let me know as soon as you can if you're going to be going, if you're going to be staying all night, so I can make arrangements. And then just one other FYI, the financial presentation is brief tonight, but as we get closer to October, we'll be doing a full presentation on the budget, forecast, 10-year plan update, along with the Mr. Hall state of the district address. And with that, I'm ready for action item one.
Do I have a motion for item one there?
Mr. President, I'll make a motion upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the July 12th financial statements be accepted as presented.
Second.
Michael made the motion and Ken seconded. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swonger?
Yes.
Motion carries and thank you very much.
Mr. Hall, you have the floor?
Thank you, sir. Quick reminder, our chimney, our landmark chimney that's always been back on the hit by lightning a couple weeks ago. We're in the process of getting that thing removed. Plans are to take that chimney down to about
done with that. We were hoping to get it done last week. Obviously, it's not done, so they should finish up pretty much up tomorrow.
You say take it down to 10 feet?
We're going to take it down. It was 65 feet.
It's only going to be 10 foot now.
Right.
Insurance.
And that was an insurance claim that we had with the Lightning Strike that did the job on the top of it.
How tall is the building? I mean, that's not much taller than the building, right?
30 feet. Building 30. This thing was 65 from the top of the building. Yeah, from the top. It's quite a chore to get her down. They take her down pretty quick. They should be done pretty much tomorrow, I think, or Monday. Any questions?
Yeah. Okay. No, that was just my bad math. I thought that thing stood alone out there. So it's going to be 40 feet. It's going to be 10 foot taller than the building. Because doesn't that go down into the building?
Well, yeah, but 10 feet above the roof line.
Okay, I thought it was just out there by itself, so I didn't know.
No, it sits on the
roof. Gives it to me.
I'm sorry.
No, that's my fault.
Class size, just a quick review. I don't know where all the kids come from the last couple days. We thought we would end up with 4 second grade and 4 kindergarten. The last couple days we've had kindergarten go from 80 up to 94, and second grade going from 80 some up to 98. We had an increase in second grade of about 12, 13 kids. So we will be putting another kindergarten, which would take us up to 5, as we had last year, and the second grade will have 5 in that class. We did move the storage room, if you know the one I'm talking about. We did clear all that out, move everyone to other locations in preparation for that second grade. That we hope to get them in there tomorrow. Plenty of desks and chairs to outfit it. Bookshelves are in there, so the guys worked on it today, so it should be ready to go. Okay. Number 3 is a person we started working with last year, if you called. We increase our communication throughout our community. We've had several meetings with Michelle. Michelle has been working with Tim and me on different aspects, and also with our MPAC group. She's been a couple meetings with that, giving us some lineup. So I asked Michelle to come in and talk to the board tonight and sort of give the board and all of us a plan of what we're going to be doing here to get our sales out in front of our community and give community input, etc. So with that, I'll introduce you to Michelle Broom, our communication person that will take the floor for the next
30 minutes. You got enough.
So Michelle, tell us what we're going to do.
Okay, great. Hi. Thank you, Mr. Hunter, the board, Tim, and Boone for having me here this evening. My name is Michelle Broom. I am a public relations consultant. My specialty is school communications, and I come to Madison Plains by way of eSchoolView, the company that powers the district's website. I have been working independently for about the past 3 years, but I have served as director of communication for Hilliard City Schools for several years. Prior to that, I worked with Newark City Schools in a similar capacity. City of Dublin, public affairs manager, speechwriter for the mayor, and city manager, and right after I left Hilliard. I hung up my shingle, if you will, about 3 years ago when I was leaving the City of Dublin because I knew I needed to get back into education. That's really where my heart is, and that's where my skill sets lie. So I come to you tonight through some of the relationships I've developed along the way. So again, thank you for having me. I started working with the district, I think it's funny, I was just got a new computer and switching things over, and I was looking at my calendar and erasing some of the duplicates that happened when I crossed platforms and came upon our meeting, and I couldn't believe that we actually met in February because it was such a great, beautiful, like 60-degree day. And so I feel like I've been working with the district only since May, but really it's we met for the first time back in February, so it's been several months. And it's been a real pleasure. We started off doing with our work by conducting a communication audit where I took a look at all the different tools and vehicles that the district uses to communicate with residents, the community at large, and specifically parents. And I made a couple of recommendations from that audit, and we are proud to say we kicked off the very first, one of the very first initiatives yesterday with the e-news Talent Talk newsletter that you received electronically. I hope you are all on that list and received that message. We are also working on a newsletter that looks similar to that, that carries the district's brand. As a side note, branding is one of my passions, and I think it's very important to have things look and feel the same so that our readers and our parents, our community, our audience knows what to expect, and they know who's talking to them when information is being given to them. So a couple of the things I'm working on will be cleaning up some of the website so that the information is presented very similarly and consistently and not with a lot of different fonts and shapes and colors and that kind of stuff. So, but we wanted to kickstart some of these more impactful communications first. Another thing that we did right off the bat was bring together the MPAC group, and we sent out a letter inviting several people personally to the meetings. And those meetings have been sustained throughout the summer months, and the members of that group have gotten a lot done. In the meantime, we've been working behind the scenes to sort of put the ball rolling, if you will, on some of the other initiatives. And that, again, yesterday, the first piece came out with the electronic newsletter. So if you want to pull up your next slide, I think it's a template of, this is what the district's print newsletter will look like, and you can see that it maintains the colors of the district. You have the district's logo. I actually switched this one with the crest, so you will see when it actually goes to print, you will see the crest. But it's a quick 4-page newsletter that the district will send out twice a year to residents and registered voters to communicate different happenings at the district and building level. We've talked about the content of the first newsletter, which will go out sometime in October, mid-October, and that will be sort of a combination of the district's former annual report in conjunction with this new format. So you'll see some of the information from the annual report within this document, but it won't be as comprehensive, if you will. A lot has changed in the way folks read information now and absorb information. It needs to be in short, quick punches that direct them to more in-depth material if they want to. This kind of a document, and again, it's 4 pages, it'll open up, you know, like this and sort of like a newsletter or a newspaper. All the research shows us that people read these things in really short nuggets, and then we will direct them. We'll use this as a tool to direct them to the more comprehensive reports that Tim compiles for the website and all the other types of information that you see on the website. So if we just kind of click through the different pages, whoops, that's the wrong button. So you'll see that a lot of the information that we're going to be presenting within this document is very short and concise and to the point. It's colorful, it's energetic, it's exciting, it really entices the person to want to read what we're presenting. It will be student focused. We'll have lots of pictures, and we'll want to draw people into the document. We'll have a standing, and as Tim talks more and more about the 10-year plan, we talked about how we want this newsletter and also the electronic newsletter to have a standing component that focuses on the 10-year plan every single time, so that we're always communicating with the community about that 10-year plan, so they know what the district leadership is doing and what the board is doing to maintain the district's financial health over a period of time. and what those needs are, so that there's no surprise when we come to them in the fall of 2012 and again possibly in the fall of 2013 with what our needs are. And if you can read Latin, then you can tell me what this says. Other than that, it is just dropped in text just to, as a placeholder. And the crest here on the back, I actually moved in the final template, is up on the front page, so it's not the athletic logo, it's more of the district's logo, which the is on here. On the this is the district newsletter, the template of the one that went out yesterday. That top part will, this top part will look like that top part. The crest has been put in. So with this kicked off yesterday, we have a really nice timeline in place that outlines what we're going to do for the next several months as we proceed into the fall. We've carried it out through middle of November, where there will be a district level communication piece about every 2 to 3 weeks. This will typically rotate on a 3 week schedule. The district's newsletter, the mailed newsletter, the four pager that I just showed you, will go out sometime in the middle of October. I think we, and I have a whole timeline. If you want to see it, we can get that to you. But the print's too small for us to go through it point by point. We targeted that district newsletter specifically to land about 2.5 to 3 weeks before the election, maybe even closer to 2.5 weeks, so that it doesn't become filler for a, you know, the proverbial birdcage at the bottom of the birdcage. We want people to be reading it. We want them to be reading it when they have something that they want, that they need to do. We want them to take action based on the information that's contained within the newsletter. We'll be providing factual information only. We will not be telling people how to vote. So we abide by Ohio Revised Code and we don't get in trouble there. But we want that to be in front of them before they head to the polls. We will be, we're working with some of the folks in MPAC to determine if there will be any type of persuasive kinds of materials that are sent out. But that will be done, if that's done, that will be done by the MPAC folks, and they will take the lead on that as the district focuses on presenting factual information. So every 2 to 3 weeks, there will be some kind of district level communication piece. We've talked about doing a State of the Schools event, which would be in early October, kind of focusing on the first 40 days of school, where that would be held in conjunction with putting sort of a video face or a live face to the 10-year financial plan and planning for the future, so that we can help tell a story and put that video on the website and share with the district where we are, what we need, and how we're going to be moving forward. And we're hoping to make that video, the goal is to make it, I don't want to say interactive because you can't interact with a video, but not just be a presentation of slides moving forward. You'll see images of kids and, you know, there'll be background music and or noise kind of to make it a little bit more entertaining. And we're studying some of the best practice models of presenting financial information in videos, so taking a look at that too. So the timeline, as I mentioned, carries us out through to the middle of November. And then we will assess where we are, yeah, around that time, and then make another timeline to move us forward into the spring. So I think that pretty much captures.
Yeah. I have a question for you.
Sure.
You said that the newsletter is going to be 4 pages, and it would be mailed to registered voters. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. And parents.
Registered voters and parents. How about those people who aren't registered, but maybe we can get them registered?
Sure. Right now the database that we have is of registered voters. We'd have to work with the print company that will be doing the newsletter. They can help us build a database or narrow it down. We can broaden it. As you broaden it, that you know, there's financial implications that come with that. We'd have to take a look at how we can get all those addresses and kind of compile them. We will be in the newsletter that goes out at the end of September. September 25th is National Voter Registration Day, so we will be gently reminding people in the news that goes out in the middle of September that National Registration Day is September 25th, and then the deadline to register, I believe it's October 6th or 7th. I don't want to say that for sure. But we have that in our timeline, and we do have that indicated, and we're going to continually remind folks. We'll also let people know where they can get voter registration forms and provide that information to them to make it a little bit easier for them to register.
How many people do you have on the impact group now, do you know?
Well,
That are active.
It has dwindled over the summer. But I would say that not every single time the same people come. So,
except for
but I would say that we also have, I would say that it has dwindled, but we do have a plan in place to remind folks about the September 6th, is it 16th? It's the third Wednesday of, yeah. We're going to send them a reminder letter, let them know what we've been up to, let them know what's to come, and that will be sent to the same group who was presented with the first invitation letter so that we can draw them back in. We're also going to talk with the local media and have them put in a reminder about the meetings, and then I did include that information in the e-news that went out yesterday.
And I think that number is around 35.
Yeah, I think the biggest group we had was about 35. And the second one, right into, we had a little bit of a smaller meeting last week, but even in July, and even with the iPad presentation, we had a lot of people come. And that was, what, 22. The second, July 8th or something?
Yeah, 22 people.
Yeah, so it was, I mean, that's a pretty fair amount, especially for the summer when people are.
It's the 19th.
Is it September 19th?
Michelle, I have just a couple things.
Sure.
First, the last day for registering for the November ballot is going to be on October 9th.
See, I'm getting my 6th and my 9th mixed up.
That's okay. So thanks, OSBA, for that information. The other thing was the assessment that's going to be going on in November. Is that going to include a survey from the folks that you have sent the newsletter out to see, you know, have they read it? Are they interested in it? Are there other things that they'd like to see, or what will the assessment be?
Right, when we take a look at where we are on the timeline. We haven't talked about doing a survey, but that's something that we can look at doing. The eSchool View products do offer that function that we can do straight through our website, and we can include the links through that and everything, and we can monitor that. So that's, I mean, the power in surveys is how you ask the questions. So we would have to spend a fair amount of time just making sure that we're asking the questions in the right way so that we're collecting the right amount of data. One of the things we can do without doing a survey is monitor the analytics that is on the back end of the website. We can study where people are clicking and when those clicks are happening. So with this newsletter just out yesterday and being the first day of school, we haven't had a chance to dive in and look at them unless you've stuck your nose into it pretty far. But we can look, say, if a newsletter goes out August 20th, if we have a spike over the course of the next 24, 36, 48 hours, we can tell that folks are probably picking up on that from the information that we've presented them. So it's not a direct pinpoint question, did you get this from the newsletter, but
so you'll be able
we can
to,
kind of look at that.
You'll be able to pinpoint what articles they're actually interested in.
Yeah, each of the articles will contain a link almost always. There might be one in there from yesterday that did not contain a link, and they will have different links. So, for example, in the welcome back, in the very first article yesterday, it contained a link to Mr. Hall's welcome back to the school year letter on the website. The information about the 10-year financial plan had a link back to Tim's page. It's not the same one on purpose because I want to see what people are looking at and reading, and I want to provide a wealth of information rather than offer the same thing every single time. And then we can't tell. But I purposefully did, I linked the Welcome Back to School article to the superintendent's page, not to the homepage, because we know people are going to go to the homepage. So I want to see if they're jumping into the website a little bit further. And it also may take some time as we train folks to read it. I mean, they've never seen this from the district before, so they may be, you know, just looking at it saying, oh my gosh, what a beautiful looking newsletter. And they may be overwhelmed by that. But no, we need to also train them of what information they will see on a regular basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? About
cover it? In addition to what Ken, does the board have any other suggestions? Certainly, take them in, Michelle, take them in and try to give you what you think we need. As a quick overview.
I would think in the newsletters, since you're mailing some, it would be nice to have some that you could place like in doctor's offices, you know, any place around town or, you know, even in London, maybe would let you place some just so if people came in and they didn't pick one up, they could. Or
sure.
You know,
and
that was mentioned at one of our meetings, I think. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And next under my agenda, we want to introduce to you our new curriculum person, new curriculum director, Karen Grigsby. Karen comes to us with a lot of background in Madison Plains. Lady that graduated here, did some extensive work in Southwestern, which she'll probably tell you some of her background, but lives down on in our district, has children in our district, and we're certainly glad that we could attract Karen to Madison State. So with that, I would like to introduce to you Karen Grigsby. She will be teaming this with our Gail Reidenbach, our former curriculum director. And Gail will probably be presenting a lot of data that we need to see, although some of the state data that we're waiting for is not available yet, am I understanding that right? Thanks to nothing that we did, but we still get penalized for it. So with that, I'd like to ask Karen to step up. As she said, that it's in curriculum anymore, it's not just filling the bucket, it's lighting some fire. So, and we think Karen is the person that will do that for us. So, Karen?
Well, good evening. I do want to take a moment just to introduce myself to you and tell you a little bit about my background. I did give each one of you a synopsis of some things in my career. I have been in Southwestern City Schools for the past 13 years. Of course, I was a teacher in Southwestern City Schools, but I was an instructional coach for the last 7 years. And first, I just want to say it's good to be home. Of course, you may know me, but I am a graduate of Madison Plains, a resident, and of course, a parent. And it's just an honor to make this commitment to our district. Through my work as an instructional coach, I have worked also in the realm of professional development and provided a number of professional development to teachers. I've worked with some ODE committees, and I've done some writing for Battelle for Kids. Those are all committees or agencies that we are going to need to have a high level of involvement with here in the coming years. I've done a lot of work really digging into the Common Core state standards, and this is going to be what's driving our curriculum, not just for the next couple years, but for many years to come. I'm really glad to be a part of a district that has made the commitment to race to the top. I come from a district that did not make that commitment, and so as I learn more and more about the commitment you have made, I'm just very impressed. I'm impressed with our teams of teachers who have collaborated on the various aspects and parts of the Race to the Top plan, and there's still much work to be done there. Gail, in a few moments, is just going to be presenting to you a little bit about, not a little bit, but some of what has been done with Race to the Top and what the district's plan, what our Race to the Top team's plan is for this coming year. That I will be, you know, I am committed to seeing that work through. The thing to realize as we talk about the Common Core standards is that there is, the reason those standards were developed was a commitment from basically from all parts of society. It wasn't just educators saying that we needed these types of standards. It wasn't just legislature saying we needed these standards, but our workforce was saying that we needed rigorous standards. Because what was happening, and not just in this district, but districts all over the country, was we were not providing workers who were capable of working in the society that we now live in. And so states joined together to develop these standards. Knowing that, we're going to see a level of rigor in our instruction and in our expectations for students that's unlike any other that we have experienced. And so that's going to take a firm commitment from our district to continue our work with the Race to the Top plan, but also to carry it beyond. There's going to be a great need for professional development as teachers really dig into how deep this is and how we have to look at instructing in ways we've never taught before. As we look at what jobs our society has now, there are actually plenty of jobs out there. Unfortunately, there aren't plenty of people who know how to do those jobs. And those jobs require a level of reasoning and analytical thinking that our past curriculum hasn't prepared students for. And that's both in English language arts and in the mathematic standards. So we're really gonna have to make that commitment. That's my background, is that commitment with the Common Core, and I believe in my heart that that is what is best for our students. So I don't think that this isn't something going away, but just a great opportunity that we have to move forward. So Gail's going to talk a little bit about what we've done and where our plan is to go next.
What I'm going to share with you is everything that was done last year, plans that were put into place last spring, and this has all been shared with, that might help, thank you. So this is not anything new. This is what the transformation team worked on last year, put into place, and then had to submit to ODE, which has been approved by the state, both our SOW, scope of work, and our PD plan. And as Lori Carnevale shared with the staff last week, the rubric of our PD plan is exemplary. We had 11 of the 12 points. So that's something that committee needs to be very proud of, that they were able to work with everybody across the district, all content areas, to put into place what was needed. So this year, things that you'll hear, that you heard again from last year, is what Chris Clark has going at the high school, called High Schools That Work, making sure that's aligned with all the Race to the Top initiatives. It's not something new and different, and his teachers were already doing most of that work. The value added, you heard a little bit about that last year, and that'll increase this year with linkage, and we'll have to do more work with teachers outside of the math and reading grades 3 through 8 group. Did apply for some grants, and we didn't receive any of them, but there'll be more opportunities. So we want to keep our eyes open for grants all the time to help the teachers that don't teach math and reading to provide assessments. And then, as Karen mentioned, your Common Core and Revised Standards. The next one, the FIP, Formative Instructional Practices, we've had that goal since 3 years ago. And again, that's something that costs money. And so we're watching for grants. A group of us did go last year to a training in the spring. And since then, I've kept up communication. And whenever there's something that comes along, I'll now pass that to Karen, because you have to kind of be on the right path to have some of those grants come to you. Goals, everyone will be looking at student achievement, not numbers, not fences to jump, but what does each child need for where they are when they come into their area. And what started last week with Rachel, Rachel is from the ESC, she's worked with us in the past. She'll be here 2 days a month this entire year, and she's going to help people understand how their content area
is connected to English language arts with writing and speaking, research papers. So no matter what you teach in this district, you need to be aware of what's expected in the English language arts world that will be part of your life.
Real quick, the goals with student achievement, that's going to be tied to the annual yearly progress for the students?
Yes.
That's what you're...
It's tied to that. It's tied to value added. It's tied to the teacher evaluation system. What we are working to do is, instead of asking a teacher to be disjointed, is all these parts and pieces are all going to be focused and aligned so that it's all working in the same path.
Okay.
Some people are kind of concerned that nobody's watching us, and so what if you don't do the race to the top requirements? However, this year, this gentleman, Greg Sampson, will be working with your district, and there will be an audit, and you don't know when they'll come. And so, as of now, everything is organized and ready, and it'll keep moving. But I think some people really think that they don't have to follow the plan, because who's going to check on us? He's going to be meeting with Karen very soon and find out where you are and what's next. The transition team members, and you've seen those names before. This is what I refer to as the scope of work. And we just want to keep reminding people what the goals are. These have not changed since the first year. There's been a little tweaking, but they have not had any major changes. So if somebody is like, well, I never saw that before, it's possible they just don't remember it, because it is there. We didn't have to change much of anything. So what I'm trying to show you here is each goal and what we need to make those goals happen. So the bottom bullets down there is that the weekly planning time needs to continue. It worked really well in several grades last year, and we want to increase it so everyone has that. Monthly staff meetings, the principals worked on a schedule last spring, what the topics would be at different staff meetings, so that some of these larger items, like the new teacher evaluation system, would have additional time and attention for that. The early release time is what we've been talking about since last spring, so that instead of asking people to stay after school and then finding money to pay them, is to have students leave earlier in the day, and then the teachers have 2 hours to do some of this kind of work. And I can go into more detail with that. We've had a lot of teachers volunteer to do a lot of work after school. They didn't get paid for it. They just knew with Common Core coming, there wasn't enough time to get it all done. We did offer some university credit for that, and that was probably one of the only little pieces of thank you that we were able to offer. And of course, the coaches, their thread through everything that we're doing with Race to the Top. The idea of data and what we're going to do with it, it doesn't do any good just to give people the data if we don't give them time and a format on how to analyze it. So that goes again back to the weekly teams, whether it's by grade level or by content area. Instructional coaches are always helping with data. They have a lot of requirements, which Karen has known from working in the math coaching program through Ohio State, that are required. There will also be some of the monthly staff meetings will be the data time to talk about what's going on. Early release time will again give people a long amount, rather than 20 minutes here, 30 minutes here, or 2 hours, to really get into it deep enough to find out, what can I do for this student, what can I do for that student, whether they're struggling or they already know it, because we have to make sure everybody moves that whole year's growth. Okay, the third goal, making sure that whatever professional development is provided, it's aligned to the Race to the Top, so that we are improving ourselves as educators. A lot of this can be embedded during the day. The LPDC group, and that's your local group that works with people's goals and their credits and hours for things, are having to work very closely with the high school that works people and the teacher evaluation system. Because of what I said earlier, we don't want to disjoint what a teacher has to do. We want it to all make sense, and you do it once and you do it well, instead of many times and get it not as strong as it could be. Webinars and modules, we had almost every staff member complete 15 online value-added modules last year to learn about value-added. And there will be more modules coming that will help them. So that's something they can watch on their own time, they can do it with a team, it can be done, you know, after school, evening, at home, that kind of professional development is helpful. And again, staff meetings, we will rely on that to help people stay focused on the expectations.
Excuse me, did you say every teacher completed or
almost
every teacher?
Yes. And that would be because I knew of one who had not, and I don't know if that person has completed it. So that's great. And Karen also is aware that we're going to work on figuring out how to help the new people
sure.
catch up.
And then the OTS, that's another huge piece that Chris Clark has been leading the movement on that. And people are learning about the new teacher evaluation system and what it means. All administrators went to training. They all have to pass a test so that before an administrator can evaluate a teacher, they have to be certified. So we want to make sure that we've got that in place, and we'll have other people that can also help, because that'll be a big load for some people. Now, this IIS pilot isn't here yet. I've been working on that with the state for a long time, and I'm sure it'll get here someday. It's going to be wonderful when it does. In the meantime, some districts have created their own way to keep track of data. So that's something you don't want to do too much too far ahead of time with it coming, but yet you don't want to wait forever in case it doesn't get here.
What does IIS
stand for? I knew you were going to ask me that. I knew I should have looked it up. Not it's an instructional information system. So what it means, you can go somewhere and find out information on all the students. Right now, we've got carts by grade level with folders for every child with forms. And we've been real good at using our pink highlighters or doing a spreadsheet on the computer of different colors. And hopefully, we'll all get to a statewide program. The second one there, too, is important that we heard from teachers, and we did ask principals to talk to each other about when they were going to have staff meetings, because we have people that live under different buildings, and so if they're all at the same time, it makes it hard for some of those people to get both places. That's why the team asked that be included in there. And then we also have to remember teachers that don't teach the core content, so that they're also aware of student data. So if you have a student in your class who's not doing so well in math, there might be something you can do about that. Jessie Mace, our teacher, had a lot of good examples last year where she could do something with that student through the art world that helped him with math. And Shannon Christian would do that in her phys ed classes. And there are probably more examples that are going on with that in the district. This was our scope of work from last year. You can see things have not changed, although I have heard there's a couple things on there that may not be around. So we'll work on that. The communication is, you need to know that there are monthly board meeting reports and things on the website, and we just want to make sure that everybody always knows everything. There's no secret about Race the Top. There's no secret about what happens at transition team meetings. It's all to be very clear to everybody. The four coaches, yeah, I shared a little bit about that. I hope you'll have more opportunities this year to hear more about their work. We are going to have coaching beginning in 7th grade in the fall, and then move into 8th grade as soon as possible. And we're asking everybody to continue these collaborative conversations. And people are learning in their English language arts class, science, social studies. They can do the same thing. It doesn't have to just be in math class. Karen's very versed with mathematical practices, and she's going to help carry that on, because last year we just kind of put our big toe in the water for that piece, and that's going to be real important for students. These are the goals for the Race to the Top professional development plan. And everything in the first goal, we just need time for people to do the work. And finding time is where we worked out last spring, how we could find time in different places. So not every staff meeting had to be this. Not every grade level team meeting had to be this. But how to spread it out so that every month people had time in one way or another to find a way to meet these goals. And there's your IIS program again. But if once that comes, teachers will still need time to use it. I mean, the data will be ready faster, but they have to do more than just look at it. They have to talk about what to do differently for students. OTES and OPES, those are the evaluation systems that are new for teachers and principals. And when it's done well, then you won't have people worried about, is it done okay or right? And so far, everybody's being trained in a way that is helping the comfort level for this to be accepted. And last week, Chris Clark and Christina Finney had a subgroup from the transition team that did a presentation. Then all buildings will spend staff meeting time on that in November and January. And then early release on those three dates can be spent on it. So we almost hit every month of time for people to keep learning about the new evaluation system, because we've got all year to learn about it before it has to be in place of fall of 13. And that's just a huge, huge package. This is just a reminder for all of us, because sometimes you just get a whim, a good idea, and you want to go do it, and then you have to say, well, wait a minute, where does it align with the district plan? Where does it fit with Race to the Top? Is it in there? What does it mean? And that just helps everybody work together so that teachers, and I'm sounding like a broken record, but we don't want to disjoint them. We want to keep everybody together working in a smart way to do what's best for kids. The tutoring that we talked about last year with the report on that, we've kind of been holding, waiting for the final state report card to come out. I want you to know that the biggest and best piece of that tutoring program last year is that we did it during the day rather than after school, because we found out parents couldn't come and get children after school. The second biggest piece was the people that were hired to do it, because they were within the system, they knew the students, they knew the teachers, and they were excellent with their strategies. We didn't have to train them at all, so we didn't lose any time there. This is very rough data, because again, we haven't been able to pull everything from all the different places, but the sixth grade math students that were tutored, they all gained 6 points from winter to spring, and then 18 of the students gained 10 points or more on those benchmark tests. And I'll go into that a little bit more in a minute. Liz Prone was kind enough today to pull the second piece together for us. About 66% of the students in grades 3 through 6 passed their OAA, and then 34% of them, if you'll see, the passing number is 400. So we had 4 students at 398, 3 at 397, and so on. So you see how close several of them were to that passing mark. When the results came out this summer, I sent a spreadsheet to all the administrators and principals, and it's color-coded for all the different levels that the students are at. And again, people just need time to look at that data and let it kind of soak in to figure out what it all means. The reason I'm sharing this preliminary data here, and I want you to see the 77 and the 87, is because those are two classrooms where the three words at the top happened all the time and happened very well. We had coaches. Coaches have 4 different rounds, so we were able to get coaches in there multiple times. The inclusion, the way that the expectations of the district, that inclusion means 2 people work together, they pre-plan, they co-teach, they post-assess, that happened exactly the way that we needed it to happen. And then the data analysis is where the coaches, building principal, myself, someone was meeting with those people weekly to look at how the students were doing day by day and making changes for tomorrow, not next month or next year. And also helping those classroom teachers understand that you don't start on page 1 and just go blah, 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 zoom through the book. You take your time, make sure the students understand it before you take them to the next step. And then there will be more graphs like that will come when all the data is back. And you'll also have information from Battelle, since we're a Battelle SOAR district. They will have value-added graphs for us on every student. So there'll be a time for a lot more information there. This is something that Karen and I both believe in very strongly, and that we don't want students to learn these new things, the new standards, the new Common Core, but we want them to understand and be able to think and solve problems.
Gail, thank you for everything you've done. And good luck in all your endeavors. We're going to miss you. And Karen, good luck, because it's hard to follow. You got big footsteps to follow in, so we're counting on you, okay?
Well, I tell you, she's got the coaches and a lot of excellent, excellent teachers in this district that work their tails off.
So. But thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I know you haven't always heard that, so thank you.
I just have one question with the one slide that you had, mm-hmm. the coaches and inclusion.
And before you ask that question, there's a typo on your paper. It's fixed on here, but not on there, under the 66 students in third grade.
Yep.
That's incorrect. But I didn't get that corrected before this.
Okay.
Go ahead, Kim.
You have the 77 and 87, where all 3 were included. Now, the other sections where the numbers that are in there are higher, is that just like 2 of the things have been included for those classes? Well, for grade 3, 77, grade 4, 76 for the reading. Those are different than the 66 and 62 in the 5th grade.
Okay, well, the only place we had coaches were in math classes.
Okay.
In the math column, we had very little coaching support in reading. We had some. We had Rachel in some. We had her more in 4, 5, 6 than any other grade level. the math coaches were in every teacher's room, K through 6, general ed and special ed. So we made, our goal last year was to make sure everybody got at least one round with a coach, and in some places they got more than one round. And so, for instance, in a fourth grade or a sixth grade class, a coach might have been in there for one round for the classroom teacher and another round for the inclusion teacher. Because we wanted to make sure all teachers had an experience with the coaching the first year. So you can see where, over time, you know, we have a few more years of this, things will keep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Karen, one thing I wanted to say to you, I know you're playing catch up now because you came from over. I've looked at your resume, it's quite impressive. I don't know if anybody's told you, but have you had a chance to look at Madison Plains, where we stand in mathematics as a whole?
Yes, I
because
have.
Because as Mr. Hall knows, and I'm in his ear about this all the time, there's a group I'm afraid we're losing, okay?
Yes.
And it goes, it's that junior high group, and that was the group that we were all, I was concerned, I've got a vested interest in that group, so, but I want to make sure we get everybody caught up.
Actually, we are working on that. As you know, as we speak, some things, you know, we're very fortunate to have Kim LeGault over at the junior high this year. She walked out.
Yes.
But, and I've worked with Kim prior to coming to Madison Plains also. But we're looking at, we are instituting the team time in the 7th and 8th grade this year. And I'm actually going to myself go meet with those teams once a week. I'm going to meet with Kim once a week also to kind of help steer what's happening curriculum-wise there. I do have concerns myself. Mathematics, yes, but also the time to learn mathematics. Unfortunately, the way our schedule is right now, there simply isn't enough time to learn that mathematics as deeply as it needs to be learned.
And that's what I'm afraid of. That's what...
And so that's something we really have to look at is what changes can we make to the junior high schedule itself to allow for more math instructional time. Algebraic reasoning is huge, and that's where that foundation is. It's not built because that starts being built in kindergarten, but that's their complete focus is algebraic reasoning. And what we know now about a technology age is like not having algebraic reasoning is like not being able to read or write. So we have to do something there. And so I have been talking to Mr. Hall about what are we going to do. I myself am going to be also coaching in the 7th and 8th grade along with our coaches.
Well, I think we've done a really good job coming up and catching up on, but there's just that one group that we're losing.
Yep.
We
and
really
they,
need
we
to
know,
look at that.
Yeah, they need the attention. Kim is also off. Ordered a book that we feel will start out for her teachers to read called Number Talks that the K-6 people already have already been working with that. The other piece too is if you can kind of picture the difference between last year after school vertical alignment, we didn't have to go. We couldn't make you go. Okay, so people that didn't attend that didn't get a lot of the PD that a lot of other people already have. This year, because it can be framed during the school that you have to go. Doesn't mean you have to be engaged and listen, but that's not going to be a problem. But now, teachers at other grade levels that didn't attend 50% to 100% last year will now be there. And like she said, they're working on this team time. A lot of things have been put in place in the last little bit of time that is going to make a big difference for those two grade levels. But everybody knows we need to watch that group because they're not where they should be.
I thank you for bringing that up because that is a personal goal of mine as well. Math is my baby, so.
And Rachel will also be working with those grade levels with ELA, so it won't just be 7 and 8 math that's going to get support and help. It will also be English language arts. And we've also worked, the other copy that you have with lots of dates for every month, it does show in there. It shows in there where we're going to connect science with math, we're going to connect science with social studies, then we're going to connect ELA with science, and then we're going to connect ELA with social studies. During this time, you have to go, and then we'll provide something engaging enough that while you're there, it'll be worth your time. But the scene is set with all the different meetings at different times that people were given all this information last spring, so it won't be a shock that here it comes. But I know we have to keep sharing it with them over and over again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Karen. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
And the next time you have a sit
on my show. No, I think we can work together. Good luck.
In regards to what you were presented on 13, that's when you come to that motion, that's what we're talking about when I ask the board to approve that two-hour release that each month dates is contained in your packet, and certainly we'll communicate that out to the parents so they know that the board approved that, that what's coming up. Very important that we continue on this. As they indicated, a lot of work has been done, and we can see a lot of success coming. What we've done in the month.
These dates aren't the same dates as we do when we were put in the grade stuff, is it?
No.
These are going to be different dates, right?
Those are going to be different dates, and we pull those out just for you. Somewhere in your packet.
We got it. I just want to make sure that gives them a chance to take care of that stuff.
No, that hasn't changed.
Okay.
That won't be the only dates that are released.
All right, but it's for the
bottom. That would be in addition, too. So. Okay. Make you aware of that. Thanks for bringing that up.
Have anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Any unfinished business? Moving on to new business, do I have a motion for number one there?
Mr. President, I'll make a motion upon recommendation of the superintendent. The board approve the first reading of the instructional technology specialist job description.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Motion made by Michael, seconded by Don. Discussion?
I just have one question. With the evaluation of the master agreement, is that with the contract that we have with the teachers?
The job description?
Well, yeah, in the job description, it talks about an evaluation in accordance with the approved master agreement. Yeah. That's the teacher's contract?
Approved, yeah, that's what they
do. Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Anything else? Please take a vote.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Schlonger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Moorlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blanchard?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make a motion upon recommendation of superintendent, the board accept with regret the resignation of Dennis Henry, VOAG teacher, effective August 6, 2012. Mr. Henry served the district for 7 years.
Second.
Made the motion, seconded by Ken. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Moorlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Mr. President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board employ Mallory Zekrich on a one-year contract as VOAG teacher at WMA effective August 17th, 2012.
I'll second.
Ken made the motion, Michael seconded. Discussion? There was some confusion, I think, when that was posted. This is the only one we got to fill, right? Because Mr. Unger took the other one, right? Okay, so we only had, when Mr. Henry left, the second Mr. Henry, we only had one. We've got all three of them now, right?
Right. Okay. We were in a time crunch there, and things just didn't follow the protocol that we normally posted for 5 days. We did the posting, went ahead and.
But when that came out, everybody thought we lost all of our VOAG teachers, so. Yeah. But we're okay.
Started out with three, we have three.
And we have three. And they're all under the understanding of what we went through and agreement with them on working the summer and all that stuff, right?
Okay. You saved $8,500 with Mallory versus where you were at before because of the new supplemental schedule.
Okay. Please take a vote.
Mr. Moorlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I'll make the motion upon recommendation of the superintendent. Accept with regret the resignation of Michelle. How do you pronounce that again?
Puhala.
How is it?
Puhala.
Or Michael, I'm sorry.
Puhala.
Puhala.
Puhala. Puhala. Puhala. Michael Puhala, bus driver, effective August 3rd, 2012. Mr. Puhala has served the Massapequa District for 1 year.
I'll second it.
I made the motion. Linda seconded. Discussion? Please take a vote. take vote.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Swanberg?
Yes.
Motion carries.
And just so everybody knows, I did forget my glasses again, so I can't hardly read. I have this. But they're not jumping on fast enough. So I have a motion for number 5.
Mr. President, I'll make a motion upon recommendation of superintendent. The board approved the transfer of Sherry Allen from cook helper to assistant head cook, step 1, effective August 14, 2012.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Michael made the motion. Ken seconded. Discussion? Please take the vote.
Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanberg?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board employ Cliff Hill on a one-year contract as a bus driver, step 0, effective August 21st, 2012.
I'll second.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Michael. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanberg?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make a motion upon recommendation of superintendent, the board employ Richard on a contract as bus driver, step 0, effective the 21st of August, 2012.
Second.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Ken. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanberg?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make a motion upon recommendation of superintendent, the board employ Linda Wood on a one-year contract as bus driver, step 0, effective August 21st, 2012.
Second.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Michael. Discussion? Yes, I have one thing. I've been going through this, and we're going to run into another bus problem again.
Already have.
So we don't have enough bus drivers or enough?
One substitute this time. We're working on 3 or 4 others. Yes.
Take vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Swanberg?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Just the board knows we did get another gravel from the Fairfield. And
good.
Over on that bigger road? Bigger road was part of that.
It affected that whole area. So if we change the time to lot, maybe 10 minutes, but we did get another bus in there.
Okay.
Mr. President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board employ Stephen Cheney on a one-year contract as bus driver, step 0, effective August 21st, 2012.
Have a second. Motion made by Ken, seconded by Don. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following academic supplement of contracts for the 2012-2013 school year as listed below.
Second.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Michael. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make the motion upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the following academic supplemental contracts for the 2012-2013 school year as listed below.
Second.
Made the motion. Ken seconded. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Abstain.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept the following donations as listed.
I'll second.
Motion made by Ken, seconded by Michael. Discussion? Please take a vote.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Brandt?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make a motion that upon the recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the early dismissal schedule as presented, whereas staff may further develop the new course standards during the 2012-2013 school year.
Second.
Motion made by Linda, seconded by Don. Discussion?
I have a question. What if we, by having early dismissal, those teachers get to work on the item that they need to work on. How about those teachers that are coaches? Are they going to be able to attend this two-hour meeting and then go to practice, or are they going to keep the kids after school and go on to practice?
No. The rule is everyone comes to the in-service.
Okay.
And we made that clear.
Okay.
But there's no practice going on.
When the
that's correct.
Meeting's going on.
I may have to eat my words. If I do, I'll come back and tell you. go to the woodshed again. But just a quick comment on that, Linda. In your package, you'll find your release. I pulled that out. But if you really want to see a snapshot of everything that's going on each month, keep that handy. And that'll give you a pretty good overview of what's going on. But the one page is just simply the early release that you're approving for just for this school.
Please take a vote.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Mr. Spolinger.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Brand.
Yes.
Mr. Morlock.
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make the motion to enter executive session for the purpose.
Excuse me, 14.
Verse 14.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve an insurance premium of $50 to be paid each fiscal year by students and staff who wish to have their iPod insured by the district against damage or loss occurring due to their negligence. A technology insurance fund will be established, and all premiums collected will be deposited and held in this fund until needed for iPad repairs and replacement. Please see the attached technology protection fund form be completed by all staff and students before receiving an iPad.
I have a second.
I'll second.
Motion made by Ken, seconded by Michael. Discussion. I just have one question. And I don't know who to direct this to. So when we do these are going to be signed out to that student, correct?
That's correct.
They're going to carry these, that same iPad, for the next 4 years, say, if they're in the 8th grade, right? They're not going to get another one. We're going to turn them in at the end of the year. They're going to be issued back that same one, right?
At this point, that's 100% our intention.
Okay. So then this is just going to be in case something happens. Are they going to pay this every year, or is this just going to be a flat rate one time every year, right?
It's every year.
Each fiscal year.
It's optional for them. Remember, it's not a mandatory. If they want to pay $50, then it's up to them. We're not going to say every person gets an iPad has to pay $50. The parent and the student have to determine, hey, is it worth it for me to have a little bit of insurance if something happens to this thing? Just like a textbook.
And if they don't insure it, something happens to it, then we give them one to use while they're here, but they don't get to take one home again, correct?
If there's abuse, then it's continual abuse, then we'll address that to some.
Just like you would with a textbook.
Right.
Do the same thing with the textbook. But again, it's totally their option to take the insurance. It's the same way with the staff, too. If you notice, we've said staff and student. Because the staff is just as responsible for the equipment as the students are. And it's the board policy that if they lose it, destroy it, whatever, and it's their negligence, then they have to pay for it. And that's whether you're on free lunch or not. You still cannot waive paying for school equipment you damage or lose. So.
Yeah. The $50 would cover accidental damage. So if it's intentional, that would waive the right to the insurance they purchased.
And why we sort of put it on the option, some people may have this coverage through their homeowners, we don't know. But when we pass them out here, 13th, Joe, is that the
week of?
Week of the 13th, we will take several evenings, bring parents and students in together, and go over these things and give them those options. So we're looking forward to doing that. We're looking forward to kids taking these things home, and we're looking forward, more so than anything, as teachers getting in here and really using these things. Down to 7/8 a day, and the teacher come running out and said, Mr. Off, I can't believe it. I don't have to take all these copies of these 100 books. I can download right on my iPad for my kids. And that's what it's all about. So our copy machine should rest a little bit this year, and our paper supply should be a little better. But that is the type of input we want from teachers. That's the type of input we want people to do. That's professional development. We'll continue to make that better.
Now, when you say that they're going to download the books, but are they going to still, they're still going to need paper and pen to answer the questions that is in the book if the teacher wants them to answer questions?
That's an option, or they can communicate right over the iPod.
They can communicate with the iPod to the teacher's iPod, correct?
We'll be in a transition year this coming this year coming up. We still have old traditional textbooks and materials.
Right.
And as teachers have professional development, and the students as well as the teachers get acclimated to what's going on, it's going to be a natural shift.
Yeah, we're not going to throw all the books away.
You know, when I was a student, that's what I was hoping for.
Ken, you're just in the wrong time.
I finally got it done.
Yeah, well, you know, it took this long.
You finally voted. You got it done.
Please take a vote.
Mr. Morlock.
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Brand.
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship.
Yes.
Mr. Swanger.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
The motion carries.
I have a motion for number 15 there.
I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board, I'll read that twice. The board, accept the resignation of Kristen Foster, effective August 17th.
Forrest,
I'm sorry. See, I'm still stuck on the board. So.
Hey, Michael, let me use his glasses. That works good.
Got mine on.
Brandon Leathers got big fast.
I'll second that.
Linda made the motion. Ken seconded. Please take a vote.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Brain?
Yes.
Mr. Swanson?
Yes.
Motion carries.
I make the motion to enter any executive session for the purpose of one or more of the following at 8, what's that say, 8:23? Under the Ohio Revised Code 12122G, Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual. Number 2, or Section 2, to consider the purchase of property for public purposes or for the sale of property at competitive bidding. And Section 4, preparing for, conducting, or reviewing negotiations or bargaining session with public employees.
Second.
Please take a vote.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Blankenship?
Yes.
Mr. Brand?
Yes.
Mr. Swanger?
Yes.
Mr. Carey?
I have no idea how long this is going to take. We're not going to be taking any action afterwards. I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight, and the next meeting is and please remember the iPad classes that are coming up. That's open to the public too, right? The ones on the 27th, aren't those open to everybody?
Board docs training is also. That's just you guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, isn't there something else coming up for the iPad training? I thought more of that, or maybe. Sorry, I guess there's not any more training.